Good evening. It's great to be here with you all. I've been edified and have acquired spiritual advice from the lessons that I've heard, and I'm grateful to be able to participate in this lesson, in this meeting with you all. I pray that the things that I'll share with you today would be helpful, of course, for you spiritually and be edifying as well. You know, God's plan of salvation is beautiful. I mean, it's simply beautiful. God's word is beautiful just the way it is. I love it and I appreciate it because it's simple. It's easy to understand. You know, I'm not the smartest person. I think I made a 2.5 or a 2.0 in college or whatever it may be. But reading the Bible is easy for me. I really appreciate God and him using that ability to keep it easy for us to understand. The plan of salvation is beautiful and it's easy to understand. However, many destroy that plan because they take away from it. They take away steps out of that plan. And in normal life, logic tells you that to walk off the platform, I have to walk up to the platform and step down. There's no way for me to get down to where you are if I don't step down. If you talk to most people in the world today about spiritual matters, especially the plan of salvation, they have the majority of the steps. You say, well, you need to hear. I say, yeah, you need to hear. So that's the you need to repent. You need to turn away from your sins. They say, yeah, you need to turn away. That's the next step. Confess is the next step. And then as soon as you say, yeah, you have to be baptized, they say, no, we don't believe that step. There's no way for me to get down if I don't take the last step. The last step is very important. All the steps are important. However, if we throw out the last step, there's no way for us to have salvation. There's no way for us to be in Christ. There's no way for us to have all the blessings that God because we have now throughout that last and final step. We should never do that. I'm going to elaborate that on that topic a little bit more. And I believe we all understand the importance of the last step, so I'm also going to add other questions in. One question is, what should a person understand before they are baptized? It's very important that that person have the knowledge that they need to sustain themselves in their walk after they have been baptized. So what should they know? What should we do to help them know? And then what is the meaning of baptism from the Bible? Many people tell you their opinion about baptism, but the answers cannot be found about baptism. Then we're going to look at what happens after a person is baptized. You know, it's not just the end when it goes down and gets wet. It's the beginning. So what should we do to help that person after they have been baptized? Forgot the first question. The first question. Responsibility is it to spread the gospel? So that's what we're going to be looking at after a prayer. So every single case of conversion in the book of Acts ends the exact same way. It ends with baptism. As Noah talked about earlier with the Ethiopian eunuch, we see Philip being sent to the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip beginning to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. If baptism wasn't essential, if that wasn't the last step, then the Ethiopian eunuch never would have stopped and said, look, water, what hinders me from being baptized? After he said that, Philip responded by saying, you believe in Jesus Christ. If belief was the last step, then he was fine. He could say, I believe, and then he could have went about on his way rejoicing. But he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then they both went down into the water and they were baptized, and then he went on his way rejoicing. That's beautiful in my mind. He went on his way rejoicing after he had obeyed that last step. That's very, very important. Now, many so-called Christians today have no idea what it means to be saved. That was me before I obeyed the gospel. Before I bumped into Jimmy, I wasn't volunteering doing substitute teaching. I had no idea what it meant to be saved. I was reading the Bible. I was going to some type of church. I was praying to God. I was studying. I was even trying to teach others about God. That's exactly how I ended up in Jimmy's home, because when Jimmy came in, he had a Bible in his hand, and I said, hey, you know, what's that? I knew what it was, of course, but, you know, we began to talk about the Bible that he had in his hand, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I can help him, you know, understand the Word of God. Little did I know, it was the complete opposite case, but I'm grateful for that event. I still had no idea what it meant to be saved. You know, I had been baptized before when I was 12, and even at that, I still didn't know what I was doing. So I was studying with Jimmy, and we were sitting down in his house one day, and we were watching some video that was kind of explaining the Bible, and it began to talk about baptism and began to, you know, tell the verse from Peter when he says baptism is a like figure to what Noah did, to what Noah went through when he went in the ark. And I had an aha moment. I said, oh, so that's when God saved me. Now, that was an aha moment supposedly for me, but for Jimmy, it was like, you know, a red alert. So he was thinking, you didn't know that when you were baptized, you were saved? So then he explained to me that baptism is when you are saved, but you have to ask, you have to seek, you have to have the desire. When I was baptized, I don't know even what happened. You know, I think my mother just walked me down there, whatever it may be. But I had no idea. So people in the world need us to come alongside them and show them what baptism means. Each and every one of us. That brings me to our first question. Whose responsibility is it to show others the gospel, to spread the gospel? Well, it's yours and it's mine. It's all of our responsibility to show others what the Bible tells us about the plan of salvation. We understand that we are children of the Most High God, and we should want everything that our God wants. We see this example from Jesus, John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus did the will of his Father. He didn't walk around on this earth doing things that he thought would be pleasing for God. He did what he knew was pleasing to God. We can understand what's pleasing to God by reading and studying the Bible and then go enact it in our lives. That's why we have the Bible, to read it, to study it, to figure out what we can do to please God, what we can do to further his kingdom. So what does God want? A difficult question? It's not the difficult question. God wants for sure every single soul on this earth to have salvation. God wants every single soul to repent, turn from their ways, be brought out of darkness into the light. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We also know that God has given us everything that we need to bring those who are in darkness, to bring those who are lost into the marvelous light. What a great blessing. We have everything that we need. And we don't have to conjure up in our own mind some way to bring those who are lost to Christ. We don't have to rely on our own wisdom or on our own intellect. All we have to do is rely on what God has already given us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also the Greek. Just because God wants people to be saved, that doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, miraculously wipe away people's sin without them obeying the gospel. He gave everyone the chance of salvation through his son, Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's not going to move in some miraculous way to save men. All throughout the Bible, we see people being saved. And the way that they were saved was through the word that they heard, by hearing it, believing it, and obeying it. The same way, his word was delivered to them through the mouth of obedient Christians. That's the case of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch what he must do. He preached Jesus to him, and then the Ethiopian eunuch obeyed it. God could have sent the angel directly to the Ethiopian eunuch if he wanted to. He sent the angel to Philip, and the angel told Philip what he needed to do, where he needed to go to find the Ethiopian eunuch. But couldn't God have just sent the angel directly to the eunuch and let the angel spread the gospel? No, because that's not how the gospel is spread. Every single case of conversion is a human, a preacher, or, you know, an evangelist, someone who has devoted their life to the cause of Christ, telling others about the gospel, spreading the truth that they obeyed. So why would we not share it with others? I mean, have you shared it with anybody? Do you know the plan? That's a very important question. Do you know the plan of salvation? You know, a lot of times we hear the plan of salvation after every single lesson. So if you don't know it, then what's going on? What do we have to do to get to a point where we become accustomed and acquainted with sharing it with others? He sent us to do this. You say, well, when did he send us? I didn't mean anything. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Many times we think, since the evangelists are going to the gospel, we can just sit on our hands and Nothing. We say, well, they're going to go out and take the gospel to them, so I don't really need to do anything. I'm just going to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday, and go about my life because the brothers are, you know, taking care of and spreading the gospel. We should not have this type of attitude. The Great Commission is for every single one of us. Were the apostles the only one who told others about the gospel in the word of, in the Bible? No, they were not. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. They were being persecuted. They were being killed for their faith, and they were scattered. As they were scattered, they didn't say, well, I can't tell anybody about God. They told people. They preached the word. They didn't do it out of obligation because they were forced to. They did it because they had a desire to. They did it because they had a passion. They did it because they had a joy. They did it because they had salvation. It hurts us, or at least me, to look at people in the world who I know are going on the wrong path, who I know are lost, who I know are going to end up in hell, and then not open my mouth to do anything to help them. We can't control how they respond when we give them the gospel. That's not up to us. But we can't control if we're going to open our mouth and share the gospel with them. And that's each and every one of our responsibilities. It's each and every one of our responsibilities to share. Do we want others to have the same hope of heaven as we do? Because God does. Do we want others to be in the kingdom like we are? God does. Do we want others to have the access to the blood of Christ like we do? God does. We should want everything that God wants as his children. And if these are not things that we want, then we need to figure out why. We need to figure out what's going on in our life. If we're too busy to share the gospel with people, or if we're ashamed of the gospel, we know that shouldn't be. Every single one of us can do this. Now, God is not going to use any special powers, as I mentioned, to save those who are in the world. He's going to use you, and he's going to use me, if we allow him to. This is beautiful, because each one of us has a different personality, and we're able to connect with persons on different levels. You know, my personality is different from your personality, so I may be able to go have a conversation with the gospel about somebody and reach them in a certain way that you might not be able to reach them, and that's okay, because you can do the same thing. We are all different. Every single person on the face of the earth is different. So don't think, well, I can't do this because I'm not this type of person, or because I don't speak this way, or because I don't know this, or because I don't know that. Because what you don't have, God does. So if you are bold enough to step out on your faith and tell other people about the gospel and spread his word, don't think God is just going to leave you out there hanging. His word is powerful. We read it. Romans 1:16 says, his word is the power unto salvation to all those who believe. The Jew first and the Greek. So you don't have to put it all on you. Sometimes we put it all on ourselves. I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. Excuses. Just open up your mouth and share the gospel. Don't you want others to be saved? How are they going to be saved if we don't share? They can read it on their own. They can. But I read it on my own, and I didn't put the pieces together. It was beautiful that perhaps God sent a preacher into my life that showed me the truth. And maybe, perhaps, you can show somebody the truth. So we definitely need to understand the plan of salvation if we're going to share it. Hearing is the first step. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Believing is the next step. John chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore I said that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Repenting is the next step. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all people everywhere that everyone should repent. Confessing is the next step. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And baptism is that last and final step. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all who have been baptized with Christ have been clothed with Christ. Now that we understand whose responsibility is to spread the gospel, let's go to our next question. What does one need to understand prior to being baptized? Well, I say that they need to understand the cost. You say they need to understand the cost. I thought they need to understand all the steps. Yes, they do need to understand all the steps of salvation before they are baptized. And they also need to understand the cost. So prior to someone being baptized, I believe we need to give them the full sense of what they're going to get into so that they will know what the Lord expects of them. Today, people get baptized for several different reasons, because their friends did it, because their family told them to, because they wanted to, get the Holy Spirit, or because they wanted to be saved. Now, I'm not saying that we should judge one's intent or their motives behind being baptized, but we should take the time to explain what they're getting into. I mean, we're not just baptizing people so we can take pictures and put it on Facebook, are we? No, we are not doing that. We are baptizing people to add them to the kingdom, but we also want them to remain faithful and stay in the kingdom. It does no purpose and it does no good for someone to get wet and then not understand the obligations and then go forth and just go back into the world where they came out of. That was me. When I got baptized, I was going to a Baptist church and I didn't understand, you know, the idea of the church. I just knew I needed to be baptized to be saved. So when I was baptized, I think the following Sunday, I went back to the Baptist church. And then Jimmy had a conversation with me. He said, why are you going there? I said, well, I don't know. That's where I was going when I met you, you know. And he says, well, you do understand that they weren't telling you the truth about baptism. I said, yeah, I understand that. He says, so if they aren't telling you the truth about baptism, then what else are they not telling you the truth about? And why would you go there? So you have a good point. And then he showed me the Church of the Bible. And then I found the Church of the Bible by going and attending there. Many cases, we don't get to that point. And that was with me. You know, I baptized a young lady that I studied with. We went through, you know, maybe four studies. And when we finally got to the baptism study, she wanted to obey the gospel. And, you know, I baptized her, and then she came to church maybe two times after that. But I never had the opportunity to go over the other requirements of what God was asking with her. And then she just drifted away. So, of course, I felt guilty because I didn't do my part. I didn't explain the cost of what she was getting into prior to her being baptized. So we must explain to them the cost. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to 27 tells us the cost, or an example of what it means to be a disciple. It says, now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Anyone who obeys the gospel must understand that God is now coming first after their life. They are not putting their family first. They are not putting themselves first. They are not putting their friends first, their job, none of that. Before that person obeys the gospel, they have to be ready to put God first in their life. That means they have to be ready to truly repent and change. No one should come and obey the gospel and then remain the same after they have already obeyed the gospel. Then nothing took place. You just got wet. You should have a change, a repentance, a turn away from your sins to say, God, I don't want those sins anymore. I don't want that stuff anymore. I want you. Now, it's hard for someone, for us to, you know, get someone to come to that realization. But we can impress the need for them to come to that realization. But once they do come to that, that's when they're going to be on fire for God, because that's when they're going to truly deny themselves. But they must understand that before they get into the water. They must understand that before they are baptized. We let them know that baptism washes away their sins, which is beautiful. And we also let them know that they are now going to be added to the kingdom, which is beautiful. But we let them know that just because that they are added, they have to stay in the kingdom. Some people believe in once saved, always saved. That's not true. You have to remain faithful unto death in order to be saved. So if you want to obey the gospel to be saved, then you should want to remain faithful to be saved as well. The next question, what is the meaning of baptism? What we present to us others must be able to be found in the Word of God. So what does the Bible say about baptism? Some would say that baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. I hear that a lot. But where is that in the Bible? Some people say, well, you just get baptized to show that other people you're a Christian. But where is that in the Bible? Those answers cannot be found in the Bible. And if you ask a person to show you that in the Bible, they won't be able to show you. If baptism was for other people to know that you were Christians, then the Ethiopian eunuch, he did it wrong, because no, I don't believe anybody was with him. I believe he was by himself when he was baptized. It's not for others. It's for you to be obedient to God. Reading the description that is given in the Bible about baptism is beautiful, for it brings us in contact with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 7 says, or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. That's beautiful. That's what baptism is. It's none of those other things that people have, you know, adopted or those ideas. That's what baptism is. It's being united with Christ in his death. No other way throughout the Bible do you read that we can be united with Christ in his death. He died for us, each and every one of us. So now we have an opportunity to be united with him in his death through the baptism, which God has set up. It's not anything that we set up. It's not anything that we created. It's what God created. It's what he has set up. To be baptized is to be clothed with Christ. When we stand before God on a judgment day, if you just stand the way that you are, if I stand as Marcus and I represent myself, I'm doomed to hell because I'm not righteous on my own terms. I've done nothing good to be given the salvation. However, by obeying the gospel, being clothed in his son, I no longer stand in judgment as Marcus. I stand in judgment as being clothed in his son to say, I understand that I need your son. I understand that he died for me and I want to make it to heaven and I want to be saved. That's why I obey the gospel. Baptism tells us that we are clothed with him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. That's what baptism is. Don't let anybody tell you that baptism isn't important. To be clothed with Christ, are you telling me that's not important? That is important. The Bible tells us it's important. Everything that the Bible says is beautiful because it speaks plainly. To be baptized is to be washed clean from all your sins, to be placed into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. When that verse tells us, but you were washed, that's washed in baptism. That means that your sins were washed away in baptism. The sins weren't washed away when you repented. The sins weren't washed away when you confessed. The sin wasn't washed away when you heard or when you believed. But when you were baptized, your sins were washed away. He says, but such were some of you. You were all that before you were baptized. God says you were liars, you were swindlers, you were thieves, you were murderers. We were all that before we were baptized. After we were baptized, we washed new. We created new. We are clean. We are clothed in righteousness. That is beautiful. And it's all from the word of God. We just need to show people that it's not our own intentions. It's not our own mind. It's his. Next, after someone obeys the gospel, what happens after that? Do we just let that person go on living their life? No, for there is still much more for them to learn about their newfound obligation to God. We need to be there to help them transition from the world into the kingdom of God, for that's a huge transition. You're going from living your life, at least me personally, living, you know, 23 years of my life in the world. And then all of a sudden being brought into the kingdom where it's completely different. You have to learn. And we need to be there to show the person what they need to do and how they need to live this new life. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So babes in Christ need milk and they need someone to teach them. Who better than the person who helped them obey the gospel? We don't let them fend for themselves. We stay there with them, help them, and teach them until they're able to become a mature Christian. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. We have all seen lions on the Discovery Channel, right? I mean, they try to devour prey, don't they? And they normally go for the weak or the young. I remember one episode that I was watching. It was a lion and the lion was trying to get the baby elephant. It was like four lions, and then, you know, the elephant was surrounded by, I guess, the adult elephants. Well, the lions came, and then the adult elephants, they took off running because they were running away from the lions. I mean, the baby couldn't keep up. So when the baby got too far behind, the lions grabbed the baby.
And I was thinking, you know, poor baby, the baby's not going to make it.
There's no chance. However, the elephants turned back around, and when the elephants came back, the lions ran away because they were protecting the baby.
Anyone who has obeyed the gospel, we need to be
there to help them, to protect them, to be able to see what they can't see. It takes a long time to gain the mind of God. It takes prayer, it takes study, it takes asking him for wisdom, and then he gives you insight and opens up your eyes and allows you to see the tricks of the enemy that a new babe in Christ cannot see. We do not let a new babe in Christ go out and fend for himself when the lion's out there roaring, trying to devour them. They're going to be easily devoured if we let them. We pull them alongside them, be there for them, listen to them, consult with them. Don't judge them. You know, it's amazing to be open. You know, it's many times that I needed prayer from other brothers and I needed help with things. And it's amazing to go to a brother and ask, can you pray for me on this behalf? You know, can you help me understand this? Because I don't know. Can you help me understand over how to overcome this? Because I haven't figured that out yet. We should be there beside them. It's a great help. And it's going to allow them to finish what they have started. Satan is seeking someone to devour. So we must be prepared to help that person so that way they do not get devoured. Jesus explains, a glimpse of this in the parable of the sower found in Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. He says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes from them and takes away the word which has been sown in them. So this is someone who just hears the gospel, who just hears the word, but they don't obey it. They don't apply it to their lives. So Satan comes and snatches it away. And then verse 16 says, in a similar way, these are the ones whom the seed has sown in the rocky places, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. I believe this gives us a glimpse of someone who has obeyed the gospel, but they had no firm root, which makes sense. A babe in Christ is not going to have a firm root. So when affliction or persecution arises, they fall away. But we need to be there beside them, with them when affliction and persecution arises. Therefore, we can help them. We can bear one another's burdens. We can be there to comfort them. We can be there to give them advice and let them know that it's going to be okay and you're going to make it through this. To let them know that what you have found in Christ is worth, going through the persecution, overcoming the affliction, overcoming the pain and the trials and the suffering. Whatever it may be, we can get through this. Verse 18 says, and the others are the ones who sown the seed among thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the words of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for the things, for other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Again, this is someone who has heard and obeyed. They received the word, but all the things of the world cause them to, lose what they had received. We should be there helping them keep it. Verse 20 says, and those are the ones whom the seed has sown on the good soil. And they heard the word and accepted it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is what everyone should be, bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We all should be there, and we all need to help others become there. As I conclude, you know, we pray and ask God to do a lot for us. But what are we actually willing to do? I mean, we lay petitions at his feet on behalf of the lost. We say, you know, God, can you please save the lost? I believe God is saying, why don't you do it? It's your job. I gave you everything that you need to do it. You need to get up and do it. Are we willing to get up and do it? We know that he's not going to do it in a miraculous way. He's going to use us, every single one of us, if we allow him to. We need to approach each soul with humility, with a heart that seeks to understand where they are coming from. And it's not about winning an argument. And sometimes we get into, discussion with someone, and we feel like we need to win. It's not about that. by winning the argument, you can lose the soul. So you're not trying to win an argument. We're trying to understand where they're coming from and show them, thus says the Lord. His word is what we should become more and more acquainted with. Not the world, not other things that don't matter, his word. By becoming more acquainted with his word, we will be useful in his kingdom. We understand the plan. We understand the plan of salvation. We hear it every single sermon. But if we don't go out and spread it, what good is it? The gospel has the power to save souls. But if we don't open up our mouth, how will the power be unleashed? You have already obeyed the plan. So what should you do with it now? You should go tell everybody, anybody, about the plan that you obeyed. You want them to have what you have, correct? We understand what awaits them. Maybe they don't. We understand that God doesn't want them to go to hell. Maybe they don't. So let's go out and tell them. Let's go out and give them the opportunity to have what we have. The fact that we can lay our head down on our pillow at night, knowing if we do not wake up in the morning, we're okay. The fact that I can drive back to Wichita Falls and say, if I get in a car accident and I pass away, I'm okay. That's what we should want them to have. It's a desire in every single one of us, and I know it is, to share the gospel. We just have to get those other voices out of our head that tells us not to do it. It's a rapper that I listen to, and he has a lyric that says, when he tell me to share my faith, now I got a question. Then I end up reasoning myself out of saying something. Now the opportunity is gone because I ran from it. How many times have we been in that circumstance? Where we walk past somebody and we say, well, I probably should tell them about God. And then we say, well, maybe they know about God, or maybe they won't listen, or maybe I don't know exactly what to say. And then that person is gone. The opportunity is out the window. Capitalize on every single opportunity, whatever you may be. Build relationships with your coworkers, with your friends, with your, you know, whoever it may be, so that way you can have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. To help them understand what they're getting into before they are baptized is what we should do. We should teach them about baptism and walk with them after they have obeyed the gospel. Maybe there's someone out there today who has not obeyed the gospel yet. Again, hell awaits. God doesn't want you to go to hell. We do not want you to go to hell. The plan of salvation is simple and it's outlined beautifully by God. The first step is hearing, Romans 10:17. After that is believing, John 8:24. Then you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 17:30. After that, you repent, Acts 8:37. And then the final step, Galatians 3:27, is being baptized, being clothed with Christ. Also found in Mark 16:16. Maybe there's someone out there who has obeyed the gospel but has sinned in some type of public way or is struggling with some type of sin. It's okay to be prayed for. It's okay to come down and ask, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need help with. This is what I need prayer for. That's why we are here with each other. That's a benefit of being in the kingdom, is that we have brothers and sisters who can relate, who can carry our burdens, who can lay petitions on our behalf towards God. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. If there be one of you in the class, please come while we stand and sing.